The Greenhouse Show on KSL News Radio.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chaleos, Ton Bettis with you, taking your calls 801-575-8255. You can text us your questions 57500. Jackie is on the line in South Jordan. Good morning, Jackie. What's your question this morning?
My question is, I have a rose tree in a pot, and I want to know how to overwinter it.
Okay. You will need to move it into an unheated garage or an unheated shed.
And okay.
You can leave it out for now, even through early November, but sometime the first half of November, you will make sure you don't want the pot to freeze. And so we need to time it with that, but it needs to be well watered, but you'll just move it into the shed or garage and just get it out of the way. Water it every 3 or 4 weeks because it will slowly, the water will either evaporate or sublimate out.
Okay.
And then just bring it out the net late March of next year to let it acclimate as the weather warms up.
So just kind of bring it out gradually and bring it back and forth?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, you don't even need to bring it back and forth. Once it's dormant, just leave it in there. So,
but I mean in the spring.
In the spring. Oh, well, it's going to still be dormant. And so you can bring it out in late March to early April.
Oh, okay.
And the weather's not going to be cold enough, most likely. You know, if we got down to 15, definitely bring it back in the shed. But just let it leaf out normally from that point.
Okay, awesome. Thank you.
All right, Jackie, thanks for your call this morning. Next listener says they have been overwhelmed, Ton, with the grape harvest this year. Is there any way to reduce how many grapes you get, or is there a place that they can share the harvest?
Well, we don't really have a fruit exchange, but...
Which is sad. We should, right?
Yeah. You know, it could be that if they have a local community Facebook group, you know, I know Santaquin has Santaquin Community News and Northwest Neighborhoods and Summit Ridge, things like that. You could say, I have grapes, want to come harvest them, they're yours. And to reduce the harvest, what I would actually consider doing is through the summer, when those clusters form, you can thin them. And you can download fact sheets on how to do it. And so thin the number of clusters per plant, you'll get bigger, sweeter grapes that are more grocery store quality, and you'll have less to pick in the fall, but it will take some work in the summer.
Be grateful for the harvest, right?
Yes. I mean, we were
I've been giving away tomatoes,
discussing grapes. Yeah,
right.
During the break. And I was at a colleague's house, and he has like 70 row feet of unharvested grapes, and I have another 20 or 30. And
it's a lot.
So the grapes have been spectacular as far as their production this year.
All right. Alex is on the line in South Jordan. Good morning, Alex. What is your question?
Good morning, guys. So, quick question. We just recently purchased a house out in South Jordan Daybreak area.
Mm-hmm.
It has three or four apple trees. And they're really good, actually. But unfortunately, 8 out of 10 are with protein, as mentioned earlier. And I just
want
to know how to deal with it.
Yeah.
Well, a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, they live in them.
Yeah. You'll need to spray them through the summer. And they're, if you can either do a conventional program or an organic program, but both involve spraying something. USU, and
what would be the good thing?
Well, USU will have a program that you can subscribe to by email that's free. And you just, if you do an internet search of USU Pest Lab fruit updates and then subscription, you can subscribe to that for free. USU doesn't sell anything, or you know, you may get an occasional email saying you should subscribe to this vegetables update or something, but that's about it. But they will tell you through the summer down to the day that you need to spray, and they'll give you organic and conventional options. You know, if I was to give you a short answer, and it's going to be a lot more vague than what these updates will do, those apples would need to be sprayed every 2 weeks with the best products out there and every weekly with some of the organic stuff. And so that's why I suggest subscribing to these USU Pest Lab updates. And because of their monitoring, they will tell you, and you'll be able to cut your spraying it down by half or even two thirds sometimes if you time them correctly. And so, I mean, some sprays that you can look for, Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew is organic and a pretty good one. There's High Yield's Pet Garden and Livestock. I think they've changed the name to like Pet Garden and Home or something, but it's out there. That's another one you can use, but there are several out there. But the timing, because the codling moth with the worms in your apples have three generations per year on the Wasatch Front. And just to go out and shotgun approach, you would need to spray every week to 2 weeks, but these pest lab updates will cut that down significantly.
Okay. So every week, every other week, actual apples besides the tree.
Yeah, and you start spraying like 10 days after the blossoms drop, and that's why these updates are so important.
Mm-hmm. But it won't harm anyone, right?
No, especially if you use organic. You don't want to use the same spray over and over, and so you would need to rotate the Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew with something along the lines of Neem Pie or Triple Action, then go back, and so you're spraying every other so you don't build resistance, because the insects can build resistance because of the multiple generations per year to insecticides very quickly. But if you wanted to keep a reduced risk and organic spray program, you can keep 70 to 80% of the apples worm free.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you, guys.
All right, Alex. Good luck. Thanks for your call this morning. Ton, a couple of grape questions coming in. The first one, how to keep wasps out of grapes?
Pick them.
There's nothing you can do. Okay.
There are some screening. There's screening you can get that are, the mesh size is small enough you can keep them out, but they'll always get in through the cracks and stuff and then can't get out. So it'll reduce the numbers. But if they wanted to screen the grapes or put a tarp over them, not really tarp, but this mesh cover, it would work. And you can buy that online, but they need to prune their grapes correctly and then go in and sometime in late August or September and do some pruning, because you run this over the top and then you have to clip the bottom about every 18 inches with, there are several types of clips you can use, but that's about the only way they're going to do it. There isn't a spray.
Okay. Is it time to harvest Concord grapes?
Yes. The whole thing they need a frost is kind of a incorrect thing. Mm-hmm. You can wait, but if you taste them and they taste good, you don't need to wait for first frost. You just pick them and juice them. I know that people have had their Concords off the vine for 2 or 3 weeks in warmer areas and they were great. And so you don't need to wait for frost on Concords.
All right. Kim is on the line in Mill Creek. Good morning, Kim. What was your question?
Good morning, folks. How you doing?
Great. Thank you.
Quick question for Tom. I heard him say the other day that that it's best to leave woody plants unpruned to the ground. I'm talking about, like, I'm guessing Augustoski, Russian sage, I've got a hibiscus. Should I leave all of them in full length and then cut them down in the spring, or can I do it now?
If they are perennials, like the Augustaki, is it a perennial hibiscus that dies
yes.
to the ground?
Yes.
Cut those back. Even though they can have a woody base, you can cut those back.
Okay, so
no
problem.
I'm more talking if you had Rose of Sharon, or if you had, you know, trees and shrubs, it's best to wait on those. But if they're considered, we treat them like a perennial, then you can just cut them back. Now, if you left them, you could definitely cut them back in mid-March and be fine.
Okay.
You know, the ones that, the perennials I don't like to leave for spring are the daylilies and the grassy, you know, the grass, ornamental grasses, because they can get kind of slimy and really hard to clean up.
And moldy, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and so those I like to clean up in the fall. But the stuff that have stiffer stems, you can do in the fall or the early spring.
Great. Thanks so much.
All right, Kim, thanks for your call today. Number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. Phone lines are open, or you can text us at 57500. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria and Ton with you, taking your calls, 801-575-8255. You can also text at 57500. Next listener, Ton, says that they have a very tall well-spire spruce, and someone told them that they should cut off the top to protect it from the wind. Is that okay?
No, it's not okay.
don't just listen to just random advice,
no.
right?
No.
What would happen if they did?
It just would. If they just, I don't know what they mean by cut off the top, but that's silly. Unless I just don't understand the situation. Okay. The well spires sometimes need to be wrapped in the winter to protect them from snow.
Mm-hmm.
But I, without more context or pictures or something, I would say that that's a silly suggestion.
Okay. Ron is on the line in East Mill Creek. Good morning, Ron. What was your question this morning?
I have about 5 forsythia bushes. We wanted to plant them to get some color. And they really don't have much color in the spring and the summer. And then they're all gangly and growing all over heck. Do I trim them now? Should I just get them out of there and put something good in? What's your suggestion?
Can you turn that radio down in the background?
Yeah, I'll go get it.
Okay.
I gotta move.
Okay. Sorry, we have a delay and it gets a little bit...
It's kind of weird hearing myself in the background.
About what you said 7 seconds ago. The
okay,
forsythia, you know, we always recommend pruning in the spring, but forsythia, well, I don't know if you were listening earlier, but I used to do model home maintenance in the fall, and forsythia is one that we would trim heavily in the fall, and it just never seemed to care. It would take a lot of the flowers off, but... it would come right back. But if the forsythia aren't performing well, they're already kind of wild and woolly, you know, throughout the summer. If you don't like the look of them, you could remove them.
Okay, so I'd heard you a few weeks ago about doing it in the spring, but geez, they're ugly and gangly now.
You know,
that is a problem.
For me, a lot of forsythia are kind of a one-trick pony. And once those flowers are gone, you just kind of got this... thing, you know, look kind of like a drunk cousin it or something, and I you can trim them after they're done blooming, and that will help, but their growth is just sporadic and everywhere that it is hard to keep them trimmed into a good form.
Okay, well, I'm going to go out and get them trimmed now.
Okay,
because they you know, you've got a basic bush, and then you got stuff sticking out 3-4 feet beyond.
That's exactly what they do. And maybe get like an electric smoker or a Traeger and drag it out by them to remind them what could happen if they don't behave.
Ouch.
Well, okay, they're doing exactly what you're saying.
Right.
Yeah, and that's just what they're genetically programmed to do. And so
they're kind of ugly. We didn't get much color anyway. I'm not very pleased with them.
Yeah, if you wanted to remove them, and if it's a full sun location, you could put some Rose of Sharon or dwarf lilacs or a number of other shrubs that would probably better suit what you need.
And I would like a flowery, we had a couple bushes with just white flowers, and they lasted all fall. Like, they're finally gone, but...
Oh yeah, Rose of Sharon for sure.
Yeah, probably Rose mm-hmm. of Sharon.
Okay, thank you very much.
Ron, thanks for your call this morning. Next listener, Ton, says, should they prune their broadleaf hydrangea now or in the spring? It's about 5 feet tall.
Hydrangea always are trimmed in the spring, but I wouldn't do a ton of heavy pruning on it. Depending on the species of hydrangea, the big leaf hydrangea bloom on one-year-old wood.
Mm-hmm.
And so you trim it right when it's done blooming. And so it has enough growth for the next year. If you go in and just give it a general haircut, they will lose all the flowers.
So when would that be for the hydrangea, the green limelight tree hydrangea?
The limelight, I believe that's broadleaf. I would need to look up the species because there's like 4 or 5 species of hydrangea we grow here,
mm-hmm.
and they have different pruning regimens. And so if it's hydrangea macrophylla, they need to trim it right when it's done. But if it is... you know, something along the lines of panicled hydrangea, you can just give it a general haircut in early spring.
Okay. Eldon is on the line in Blackfoot. Good morning, Eldon. What was your question this morning?
Good morning. Thank you for your show. I really like it.
My question
is, I cut down a cottonwood tree, and it's still to the base, the ground, and it's still... sprayed it with Roundup, and I can't kill it. What can I use to kill it?
Well, it's one of those things that you should have drilled the trunk or taken a chainsaw and cut a groove in around through the bark into the wood on a 45-degree angle and filled that with concentrated Roundup. So the only thing I could really recommend is clipping all the suckers and then dabbing them with concentrated Roundup as soon as you clip and getting that just spread throughout the entire root system. And it may take a couple of years, but that at this point is the option.
Okay. So can I still use a chainsaw and ground the base up?
Well, how high is the trunk?
It's only about 2 inches off the ground.
There's probably not enough there to do any good. Unless you have suckers coming from right around the base, you could maybe try drilling holes at a 45-degree angle with like a half-inch paddle bit about an inch and a half into the trunk, and then filling those using a funnel that you're going to throw away when you're done to fill those with concentrated Roundup. But that would be, I guess, another way to try to kill it.
Okay.
Now, is the tree in your yard?
It's on the edge of my yard.
Okay. And you may go to a local retailer and they'll recommend Tordon, which will do the trick, but it will stay in the soil for up to 2 years, and any desirable broadleaf plants around that cottonwood, wherever it has roots, because it leaches out of the roots, can also be killed. And so I don't recommend the use of Tordon.
Okay, how close do they have to be to kill it?
It'll leach for a couple of feet in any direction from a root. And those roots will, if it's a mature cottonwood, those roots can reach over 100 feet away from the tree.
Wow. Okay.
So you do need to be careful. It was in the middle of nowhere and there wasn't anything really desirable around. It might be an option. But if it's in your yard, I wouldn't risk it.
Okay. Hey, thank you very much. I appreciate your help, and I just want to say, go Cougars.
My wife's going to the game with my son this afternoon, and hopefully they do well.
Eldon. Yeah, hopefully they can do better than last week.
Oh, man. They might be in for a rude awakening with the Big 12, so we'll see.
All right, Eldon. Thanks so much for your call this morning. Next listener, Ton, says, what's the best way to store potatoes? They have 250 pounds. His wife is talking about storing in a metal garbage can or cans. What do you think?
They would need ventilation, but you let the potato sit for a couple of weeks to cure so that the skin becomes thicker and kind of not really scars off, but it will tolerate being moved and shifted mm-hmm. when you do. And then they need to be stored at around 40 degrees.
All right. Number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. Text us at 57500. We'll be back following the news.